What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Kicks and Picks Podcast. Nick and Scotty with you. We are here to kick off the EPL season week one. And we have brought in an expert, an expert on Chelsea, an expert on betting, our friend Matt Williams, at Matt Williams on Twitter. That's sevens in place of L's. This guy is the greatest volume bettor you will ever see in your life. Volume builds character. Timeline is loaded with great stuff, and he is here to drop some knowledge for us. Matt, thank you so much for hopping on with us today.
What an intro. Thank you. I appreciate the kind words. I can claim to be a betting expert. I think I've been successful enough to take that and accept it. Chelsea expert, I don't think anyone is. I don't think there's a person alive that could probably accurately name the up-to-date roster with a 100% certainty. As we're talking, I mean, there's currently talks of Osimhen. Maybe he's signing while we're on the air. Who knows? As a Blues fan, I've learned to never, ever, ever, ever accept any news until I actually see them in a uniform. But you know, we'll see. Let's talk some Chelsea. It's chaos time.
Yeah, Chelsea has kind of become like the ship of Theseus, where it's like every season they strip it back and then they replace it with new players and the same shirt and a new manager. And it's like, is this still the same team? Like, what is this just like an ever revolving yeah. cast of characters that come through the Chelsea doors?
Yeah, it's great. And half of them we don't need. But hey, you know, like I said, I don't care at this point. I'm not looking for a coherent plan. I'm just kind of rooting for whatever the chaos gods bring us.
Yeah, that's a good attitude.
One thing you can't knock them for, man, they're trying to keep the fans happy, right? You're swapping people in and out left and right. Yeah. You can't say that there's no activity.
Yeah, I mean, for fans that are purely follow football, soccer, this is probably confusing with it. Everyone always names Boley, like he's the only one involved. But there's obviously a lot. He's probably the least involved person at this point. But the whole thing with he did bring with him is that bait and you know American MLB mentality where he's trying to do these swap deals, which you know in American sports is you know fairly popular, trading player for player, and you know he's trying to you know do all these different things. This just kind of makes it exciting, but yeah, you can't fault them for one thing. They're absolutely trying. You can't say they don't care. I mean, they've brought in 35 players. They've sold like 30. You know, they're constantly on the move, and whatever they're doing, I mean, they're always doing it with the hopes of it going their way. I mean, people, you know, hindsight's 2020. Everyone looks back on the Graham Potter thing like this big catastrophe. I know how everyone thought he was the next coming when he was at Brighton. They wanted him to be the next England manager, and everyone yeah. So everyone loves to bash things after the fact. There's obviously things that haven't gone well so far. They've had injuries, but yeah, they out of anything, they are definitely trying. So that. You have to give them. So, I mean, you know, that's all you can really ask for. I mean, you know, it's would you rather have the mess that is Chelsea or have a club that is really just sitting back, just letting things happen, you know?
Yeah. I mean, of all the different traits that Boley could have brought in from baseball, that's probably one of the better ones. As opposed to my club, FSG, they like to bring in the money ball aspect and try and get value on every single player and refuse to go above their valuation sometimes, much to their detriment. And here we sit in year four of our you know new DM search after losing Fabinho or Fabinho getting kind of past his prime and still haven't found one yet. So to your point, like, yeah, it's definitely better to have a club that's willing to try and do something as opposed to just sit back and like wait for the perfect price or the perfect, you know, player or manager to come through the door.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You know, it's funny as much as they, it looks like they recklessly spend, their whole thing so far has really been loopholes that are constantly getting closed and further will be closed by signing people like 10-year contracts. But like they actually like have this on, even though they're spending money, they have this weird purse strings thing going on where, you know, they refuse to like go above a certain wages. Like they're not, they don't pay people other than like Sterling. At least of the people they signed, other than Sterling, not a lot of people are making a lot per week. So yeah, it makes things very, it's an interesting thing, but at least now they brought in Maresca. They seem to have a plan and they're trying to build around it. So, I mean, I also respect that too. So, hey, we'll see, whatever it is, we're probably not going to see it early in the season we'll get into the game, but you know, we're not going to see the finished product immediately. And we're probably not going to, get an idea of the full vision for a little bit, but. it'll be an interesting year. But like you guys were saying, I can't even remember if you said this on the air or off the air, but this is, it looks like a very open Premier League season. So, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, definitely at least, you know, four or five clubs that are all going to have the potential to be in a title race, you know, for at least the first few months. And then we'll see how the season shakes out. Obviously, injuries are a little unpredictable and tend to throw curveballs. We saw that last year with Tottenham. You know, Postecoglou came out, you know, roaring hot for the first two and a half months. And then things kind of fell apart after a pretty unfortunate series of injuries over the course of maybe like 2 weeks, really. That derailed their season. So we'll see who has the longevity and who has the depth. And when speaking of depth, you know, who better start with than Chelsea?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys want to kind of get started with the, with the opening match here? Is that what you want to do?
Let's, I want to hop into your thoughts just on the team. I mean, you obviously have been giving them, but just kind of what your outlook is on the season. You know, what maybe your goals are, realistic goals that you're hoping for, what you're hoping to see from a starting 11, because like you said, 30 odd new players in, right? Yeah. Who knows? You can make a few 11s with it. But before you get to that, I do just want to toss out, if you guys are able to get Osimhen for Lukaku and Cassidy and like 30 million, that might be like the transfer of the millennium. So
yeah, having Neto and Nkunku and Jackson and Osimhen, and a Palmer, that would be something. You know, with the new system with Maresca, I mean, it's going to be a slow build, which a lot of Chelsea fans aren't going to dig, but hopefully they're patient enough. The whole thing is, the whole thing for me is like, if you get Osimhen, and it's going to be like, it's going to be an amazing display of like athleticism. We have plenty of people in the midfield between Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez. Lavia is probably going to unseat one of them to begin the year the way he looks. I think he's the guy he should be starting at the six versus Man City. You can have that inverted fullback, which obviously that cannot be Reece James to start the year. He's injured and he's suspended. Let's see if Cucurella just takes, he'll be the guy probably out of the gate doing that. I assume it will not be Gusto, because Cucurella is definitely more suited for that, but they didn't really do much at goalkeeper. We've bringing in Flip Jorgensen. That was good. I mean, like Sanchez, they made it seem like that was his choice, Maresca's choice, because he likes to have someone who's kind of mobile back there and, you know, really gets involved in, you know, the buildup. So that's the part that worries me. Last year, they conceded a lot of goals. They have a lot of talent on the field, but it looks like it's a talent really built towards attack. You know, again, it's going to take a while to actually see what that looks like, because there's been a lot of, you know, you know, on top of bringing in a new system, they don't even know you're not even going to see what the full team looks like. Like a lot of the new guys we're talking about, Neto probably won't even be on the field because he's probably not fit enough. Like, cause you know, there's, like I said, James isn't ready to go. And there's other, you know, Man City, just their first game. We'll get to that more, but there's a lot of people that are just missing due to lack of fitness or just injuries. And then they're also installing a new system. So man, I think it's going to like be a month or so before we even see what this is. But you know, now that they got everyone back, you know, from the Euros, they had their little mini vacation. He actually had an opportunity to train with the full squad that he wants. And this next part is kind of weird as a fan to see, but you guys may have noticed people that aren't in the plan, like Conor Gallagher, who they've been trying to, you know, send to Napoli and they're bringing him back to London. That's a whole freaking thing. And other players that are not in the plan that they are trying to get rid of, they're banning them from the first team and they're not even like letting them stick around. You know, so they're trying to, you know, kind of force them out and try to like narrow it around the people that are actually gonna be involved, which I guess from a practical standpoint of preparation is a good thing. But you know, so I mean, I'm sorry if this analysis isn't kind of really digging into anything specific, because I mean, Chelsea really is a huge question mark because there are so many people that get brought in. I mean, like they are fully healthy. You say that they said with James gone, you got Gusto, Fofana, Colwell, Cucurella in the back. That sounds really good. They brought in Tosin on a free transfer. That sounds good. De Sassi, it sounds like they're trying to ship him out of town. Chalba, they're trying to ship him out of town. even Shilwell at this point, it seems like they may be trying to ship him out. If anyone will take his wages, the infield, you know, in the midfield, they brought in Dewsbury Hall, big Maresca guy. Like you said, Lavia is looking real good. We might be making a couple of huge additions up front. So it's whatever we see right out of the gate, good or bad, it's not going to be a finished product for like another month. It's honestly them not having like Champions League or anything like that is probably a good thing this year. A really good thing. You know, I mean, I almost wish they would just, forfeit their European games this year. Like, I mean, at minimum, just send out the young guys. Don't even send some of the starting 11 to these games. But I'm excited. The talent is incredible. I do believe in Maresca. I think that his system is perfect for what they've built. I didn't bring up the name João Félix. That's a weird fit. I don't know why that's being brought up. It makes no sense. So I know I'm just, that's why I didn't mention it.
That almost felt like an accounting move again, where it's like, yeah, they have to try to like, in order to get Gallagher sold, to like do whatever they need to take a player on. And I don't know, that one seemed weird, but for
everything Maresca wants, everything Maresca wants to do, man, you couldn't really ask for them to do much more. If it ends the way, the big thing they were missing was a big striker, but not saying Nicholas Jackson wasn't good. I mean, from a metric standpoint, expected goals, I mean, he made some big mistakes. He had some big misses, like, you know, like a mini Lukaku. I believe that, even if we had him, we would have been good. But obviously, Osimhen coming in is fantastic. My only worry is at goalie. But everything else looks pretty damn solid. And I mean, hard not to be excited.
Yeah, you talked a lot about the incomings. I do want to touch on one of the outgoings or players that left was Thiago Silva, who, yes, even though at his advanced age, still was a solid defender and kind of anchor for the defensive line. I know you're feeling confident about the you know, four or five players you listed off that could be coming in or you know, coming in.
Confidence, the word. If healthy, exciting talent.
Yeah. So do you think that Chelsea, like with defense now maybe not being their strong spot last year, is that something that shapes out to be maybe a potential weakness again for this season? Or do you think that, you know, with some of the new blood coming in, I mean, they're all pretty young, you know, Fofana and Badiashile and, you know, is that something where it's like they can kind of rise to the occasion and maybe as long as they stay healthy, form a partnership or at least some sort of chemistry that could actually benefit them this season that they didn't get last year?
No, I mean, it is a worry. It's a worry because, I mean, not only is like the heart of your defense gone, your captain is, you know, suspended, but he's already got a hamstring injury in Reece James. I don't know who can possibly think he's going to make it through the season and even play half the games at this point. You hope he does. I don't think especially if you're someone who actually runs Chelsea or anyone in that position, you cannot go into the season expecting that. You have to prepare as if he's not going to be there because there's nothing to suggest he will. Wesley Fofana has not proven he can stay on the field either at a very young age. Levi Colwell, I'm excited for. Malagusto, very underrated. I got to say, he's one of the few players on that defense where I'm like, calms me down a bit because I think that he can step up in a big way, especially if James is out. I think Gusto is great. And then Cucurella, we saw him really, you know, he looked like he was going to be a huge bust. And, last year towards the end of the season, and then it's, you know, in the Euros, he kind of stepped up, you know, maybe I didn't realize he was going to run his mouth as much as he did. Having them is there is solid. Tosin is another solid guy they brought in on the free. Badiashile is still around. That's why I don't understand why they're trying to give away Trevor Chalobah when we have so many question marks. But if healthy, yes, I think this could be actually an elite defensive unit. But I mean, you got to count on James missing time. You got to count on probably Fofana missing time. If they stay healthy, great. But other than that, you're looking at Gusto, Cucurella, Tosin really leading the way there. And, you know, Tosin's a really young kid who can make mental mistakes. So that's really a lot to put on those guys. So, yeah, that's another reason why I really wish maybe we had a more established goalie goalkeeper to work with them. But again, we have a really strong midfield, which, you know, is hopefully going to really help things out. And, you know, maybe we'll be scoring enough goals. Chelsea will be scoring enough goals to kind of make up for it. But yeah, that'll be the big issue here. The talent can kind of keep them going on the offensive end. But defensively, they got to stay healthy, because right now, at least the way it's looking, if they're sending out MLB mode too, if they're sending out even more depth, it's going to be a little difficult. So it's one of those things where I can't give like a definitive answer, because all these guys I'm talking about that are probably leaving are still here. If the guys they want to get rid of are gone, it could get messy. But yeah, to your point, it's a huge question mark. They got to stay healthy. If James and Fofana stayed healthy all year, it would be for the first time. So that's why I said it's hard to count on.
It's good to hear that you have these questions, because we certainly were trying to make sense of it. So somebody that follows the team that also has, you know, similar questions, I think that validates our line of thinking a little bit more. I'm going to ask you like a handful of questions that are all essentially the same. So, just try to ride along with me here.
Sure.
What are your expectations for this year? You know, you finished sixth last year, great end to the season, if I remember correctly, something like six or seven straight wins. Do you expect a better or worse finish than sixth? Do you think you can make a run at Champions League? What's kind of your outlook from that standpoint?
I have been building up a big chaos who knows thing, but
right.
I think even when a few things go wrong, and they will, it is rather wide open. I think that Aston Villa will struggle like Newcastle last year, now that they're being put into Champions League. Yep. I think that extra weight on that schedule is going to really drag them down. There's a couple of them, and Newcastle still has to probably cut some players to, you know, just for FBP purposes. I think they'll still be drugged down a little bit. So I think it is wide open for Chelsea to step up like where they were last year. They certainly have more talent. I think that they have a sound plan. And I really do think top four is well within striking distance. I don't know if I want to say I confidently think that they'll finish there, but I think that rather than, you know, fall far behind and be trying to roar back into European football, I think that they'll be challenging in that top four, after the holidays. I think that they'll kind of be in that mix for the rest of the season. So yeah, I think they can and will challenge for Champions League football if they, you know, can avoid some kind of devastating injuries, which can happen to any team. But here, this is me baking in expected injuries, that I think they're going to happen. But at this point, they just they have a decent amount of talent. They're going to have to play with each other and get a little bit of chemistry going. But at this point, a lot of them have been at the club for a little bit. It's hard to see this team, especially with the how open the league looks right now, where they would be fall back any further than they were last year. So I'll say last year, I think, is their floor, the sixth spot, but I think they can certainly jump up there to get into the top four for sure. So if I had to bet, I would say, yeah, I think four is their finishing spot. I think that's where they're going to get.
Yeah, benefit to them too, or really anybody, I should say, in this kind of fringe group is, you know, with the fifth spot potentially being a Champions League spot, depending on how these English clubs do in Europe. I mean, last year they all kind of crashed out pretty early in the knockouts, but have to expect maybe some stronger performances from, you know, the top end of this group. Could easily get fifth and finish in Champions League. And as a Liverpool fan, I'm kind of hoping that's the case, because I think that's probably where Liverpool are going to be flirting with. They're going to be flirting on that fifth place line not a lot of business in the summer and obviously a new manager. So we'll see. But I think, you know, if nothing else with Chelsea this year, they're going to be entertaining to watch, right? Yeah. All the attacking talent we just discussed, it seems like they're certainly going to be a team that has the ability to come from behind. So even if they do concede early, definitely going to be a lot of fireworks in the second half of these matches, you know, especially if we have the longer stoppage times that we've had in recent months.
Yeah. One reason I identified past the holidays for why I think that because that'll give them time to kind of get their feet wet. And at that point, they're going to know what they are on offense. The talent in the midfield will be there. And by then they'll have an idea of probably what's going on defense. And you obviously know, everyone knows at this point, they're not going to sit on their hands during the winter transfer window. And they will probably sew up a hole if they have it. So I do have confidence that going into the transfer window, I'm expecting a hole on defense. I just am, because I think they're going to, I think they're going to send, have too many outgoings. They're going to deplete the depth and they're going to need someone, but I think they'll go out and get it. So yeah, it'll be a very fun fight for the top six. Potentially. I mean, we discussed that how tight it could be. There could also potentially be a really tight fight for the top six and a massive hole beneath that. So there's a chance that there's like a giant parity between the top third of the table and the bottom two thirds of the table. Cause there's a lot of talented teams at the very top right now.
Yeah. I think an interesting wrinkle with this Chelsea club right now too, with all the, you know, I don't want to say surplus parts, but the depth that they have is that they're also a team that could make a pretty strong cup run too in the domestic cups, because they're going to have plenty of players to rotate that are going to need game time, and where a lot of clubs in the maybe top, you know, five or six that are also in Europe might be rotating in some of their youth players, their under 23s. You know, Chelsea's going to have a pretty strong lineup of guys that are, you know, pretty experienced at the top flight and can contribute in major ways. So that's another thing that I think, you know, we haven't looked at an FA Cup or I don't know if it's still the Carabao Cup, if they're rebranded it recently, but
yeah,
looking to see what those odds are for them to make a cup run there, because I think this is definitely a you know, perfect situation for them where they can kind of get a trophy and squeeze one in when, you know, all the other guys are kind of focused on other areas of you know, their aspirations.
Yep. And like I said, the reason I faded Newcastle last year and Aston Villa this year, Chelsea has that exact opposite problem. There's not a team typically that comes into the season this loaded as a, you know, a projected heavy, you know, like one of the top teams that they're literally not even worried about the even Europa football. You know, I mean, they're not in Conference League, they're not in Europa, they're in the Conference League. And I highly doubt they're going to dedicate many resources. Well, that's one thing to having a 175 man roster, is that we can send a lot of bodies to the Conference League games that don't necessarily, we're going to be able to rest other players. And that should work to their benefit this year. And I really hope they take full advantage. Like you said, they can go full into these cup games and they can, you know, really, you know, take advantage of the thinner schedule. Cause I mean, especially now they keep adding more and more games, you know, the conference, you know, the Champions League this year, just more and more games.
It's a full season.
they will, that rest will be able to help them. Not that it's not necessarily the problem they want, but I mean, they got to take advantage of it.
For sure. I think we saw a lot of players burnt out by the end of last season, right? A lot of them played into the summer. I want to shout out our buddy Oaks in the comments. Congratulations to Real Madrid. They won the Super Cup today. But one of the things we saw in that game that I expect to see from a lot of teams early on this year is a lot of these players played 50 games last year, 60 games, that they're into international competitions. We had the Euros, we had the Copa. How long is it going to take these teams to gel? I want to transition that into this upcoming game against Man City, because we saw Man City play last weekend and it's about as uninspiring as they have looked. And I attribute a lot of that to fatigue, right? Obviously there's some moving parts, right? New players always in and out. I don't think they played their necessarily strongest 11, but man, they were on the back foot to a United side for 65, 70 minutes, if not more. And just to go full circle with your point, Matt, I think that's going to be a real concern for a lot of teams this year, this new Champions League format. It's actually a great problem to have for Chelsea. More depth than you know what to do with and less games to play. So I think you're kind of on the right track there.
Yeah. And going into week one, it'd be nice to steal one against Man City for the exact reasons you were saying. I mean, with playing many games and having the Copa and the Euros, I mean, there's a very good chance we don't see much of Rodri, John Stones, Kyle Walker, Phil Foden. You know, we may not really see much of that at Stamford Bridge for this one. You see Oscar Bob, you'll see Rico Lewis, you know, which is certainly something that Chelsea will welcome. You know, Chelsea will have their, you know, have a couple of guys missing on their own side. Like I said, Pedro Neto, I mean, I don't know if he'll be fit. A lot of people are writing them into the starting 11. I can't imagine he will be. Reece James is suspended, but overall, you know, they're pretty healthy. They got everyone back. Enzo and Cucurella, they're all back with the team. So, you know, they have the home field advantage. We'll get more into the match prediction, but they'll be able to take advantage of other teams being run down kind of right out of the gate.
Yep. Yeah, let's jump into the odds, right? Chelsea is at home for this game. City is a favorite, -125 on the money line. Chelsea's plus 300. The draw is plus 290. If you're looking at a spread, Chelsea plus half a goal is minus 110. And total is actually set at 3 in this one. Over 3 is minus 140. So you'd need to go to 3.25 or 3.5 to make any real money on that bet. So, I mean, three most common bets that I'm just throwing out there. Is there anything there that catches your eye or anything else you're looking at in particular for this game, Matt?
I don't like to bet on draws, but I think that's the most likely outcome here. I think what I like is maybe get a little creative with like both teams to score. Like I know you can get out there if you do both teams to score in the second half, you get that for like 150 plus 150 instead of nice. Just going both teams to score in general because the line's already at like 3.5. I think that you know, Man City will also always be a threat to score. And I think that Chelsea at home, they'll, you know, when they get their legs under them, I think they're very likely to get City to concede in the second half too. So I think something like that, both teams scoring in the second half for a plus 150 would be something I'd look for. Maybe like if you want to go off on the, you know, anytime goals, Nkunku, I think is a solid option there where not everyone's completely set. And Cole Palmer will not be quite in the role he was last year as the guy that, you know, obviously is getting the ball. So I think that if you want to single out someone, I think he is someone who's going to have a big year. We'll see a lot of his blue balloon, celebrations. But yeah, I think the most intriguing one here is, yeah, both teams to score in the second half plus 150. I think that's pretty sharp because I think we are going to see some goals in this one. And that's a way to get a little extra value out of it.
Man, I want to see if I could find it because this is a bet we find a lot of value with. Highest scoring half being the second half is minus 115. I think that's a nice tie into what you just gave out.
Yes. Yeah, because I think they'll be very – I doubt either team comes out very aggressive in the first half especially. They'll be timid. It's opening day. There'll be nerves. Maresca will be – you know, that's a slow buildup anyway. City will be shorthanded somewhat. So, yeah, I think the second half is definitely the best thing to attack because, again, week one is difficult to predict anyway. So you want to go with – you want to try to like not go with, I think, money lines and things that are, you know, can really blow up in your face because there's going to be a ton of variance here. So, yeah, I think this is a nice angle to play in this game.
No, I like it a lot. I really want Chelsea to get to plus one on the spread, but I don't know that they'll get there. Just throwing that out there for fun. But Scotty, what are you seeing in this one? Man, you're muted if you're talking. I can't hear you.
Sorry. The one bet I like the most, and it's based purely off of the Community Shield match that we watched against United. I kind of like Chelsea to score first in this one, plus 130. You know, City, they didn't really look super lethal in the first half. You know, it was really mostly Manchester United. Thankfully for City fans, United couldn't finish anything. So they got to halftime at 0-0. But City certainly looked slow. You know, the Haaland and De Bruyne connection wasn't as sharp as we've seen in recent seasons. So I don't know if that's quite up to, you know, the peak form that we've seen, you know the last couple of years. And then you kind of look at, you know, Oscar Bob getting hurt today in practice. So he's going to be out. And he was the player.
Did I imagine he was going to play? I guess he's not playing.
Yeah, he's not playing. That's breaking-ish news last couple hours. And he was a player that assisted their only goal in that Community Shield match. So I could see Chelsea, you know, with the wealth of offensive attacking power that we've already talked about, you know, getting the first goal at plus 130. I like that one a lot.
Just a question I want to post to you guys. Do you think there are cards in this game? Because line is pretty low. Like Chelsea team total cards, 2.5 is minus 120. Kind of want to buy into that. But City hasn't looked that good.
Jao Felix jumps in. We can definitely bet the over. Yeah. We get a red card his first game.
That is true. I was going to say City, for whatever reason, they don't really pick up a lot of cards too often. I don't know if it's just the way that Pep has kind of trained them, but you know, usually you see Rodri or whatever getting away with a lot of things that, you know, sometimes I wouldn't expect other players to get away with. So I wouldn't necessarily say that I see a lot of cards in this one, but it all kind of depends on the flow of the game too, right? If we think there's gonna be a lot of goals in this game, then you can see defensive players or, you know, holding mids get a little frustrated, and then maybe they do start getting a little reckless.
I think I would stay away from it only because, I mean, Reece James is not here. He's a little aggressive. Connor Gallagher not playing in this one. He's definitely someone who you would be looking to maybe make those aggressive moves. I don't necessarily think it would be a bad process to go after it, but again, variance being what it is, I would just avoid it week one. Let's see what these, especially with Chelsea, I don't even know like what kind of aggression level we're going to see. It's like, you know,
no, I think that's more than fair. I think,
Anthony Taylor.
I mean,
why are you bringing him up? That's like Beetlejuice. What is this?
Thank you, Oaks. You know, I just like, jumping out to me like, oh, Chelsea's going to get three cards. Of course they are. Like, there's no question. Then I thank you for putting me in check. I have to realize that, hey, it's the first game of the season. Let's relax a little bit. We don't know what the FA has told these refs. We don't know how strict or lenient they're going to be on certain things compared to last year. I just remember last year in my head, I have nothing to back it up. Like, was the most card happy year in that I can remember. So I just kind of felt like that could be something to look at, but you're right. First game of the year, let's have a little caution and let me practice some restraint here.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys like in this game?
I will say it's hard to. I would wait until lineups come out for this one, but Cole Palmer, anytime goal scorer at +200. I mean, I think he gets off to a strong start this season. I mean, he was arguably a top three forward in terms of output last year. If he gets the start, don't know that he will. I would certainly put money on him. It also could be something you watch live too, right? Like if he comes on in, you know, the 60th minute, depending on your book, you can usually get an anytime goal scorer for the player props. You can kind of hammer him then too, especially if it's an open game. Because he did have quite a few late goals in the last, you know, 20, 30 minutes of the match last season. So I do like that one, but I would kind of wait and see what lineups look like come Sunday.
That's the best piece of advice you can give to any better for week one, especially this year, week one, is wait for lineups to post, because that is dramatically going to change especially in this one. I mean, you should play a game called like guess Chelsea's starting 11. We could probably each have three entries each and probably still not get it.
No. Or what would be the over under on like correct 11, yeah, right? Is it like correct. five and a half?
I think I can get six or seven. Yeah.
Because you have a good idea, like goalie, back line are pretty limited in terms of options there. You know, to Matt's point, the midfield, I think we all know who the high performers are right now. So it's really just that, you know, the front four players, you can kind of interchange with any number of them. So
yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, well, listen, I think let's see what these teams have. Matt, we're certainly rooting for you in this one. Good luck to you and to Chelsea. I think we gave as good of advice as we could for this first game. I just want to toss it up to the rest of the slate here. Week one, some interesting matchups, some not so interesting matchups. We got United Fulham, Arsenal's taking on Wolves. Everton Brighton is one that I have circled here. Ham taking on Villa, Leicester Tottenham. I don't know. I think there's some intriguing matchups. So just want to toss it up to anybody that wants to speak. Any games that stand out to you? Any bets that stand out to you here week one?
I mean, I have a few bets already locked in. I'll throw this over to Scott, see what he thinks, because I think we have the Ipswich Town, or I always mess up their name, coming in to face Liverpool right out of the gate. I like the over 3.5 +115. I think it's going to be a goal festival. I mean, we'll see what they can bring to the Premier League in terms of that unique look. But I mean, I could certainly see Liverpool getting all four of these goals by themselves. But, you know, there is the possibility that, you know, they come in, and especially in the second half, you know, we could see some late goals to really push this over the line. So I think we see some goals for sure with Liverpool.
Yeah. So I am so sorry, Scotty, before you go, I am so jaded from last year because, Matt, I had the exact same logic. Liverpool were taking on somebody I believe that had just been promoted week one. Yep. I had their team total over 2.5. I think they won the game 1-0. And I was just
probably like in town. Yeah.
Just like fuming on Liverpool for a solid 2 months.
So what I was just going to say, and Nick, like we could probably go back a year in our text, because I say this every year, Liverpool, for whatever reason, always open the season against a newly promoted club. And it's always one of those games where like that club has all this energy because it's their first time back in the Premier League in however many years, and they play out of their minds. And Liverpool, it's like this crazy back and forth game where like Liverpool are like, you know, scoring three goals and it's like, that should be enough. But then this team is just, you know, playing beyond their normal capacity.
I think the new manager will probably prevent that from happening. Like before, you kind of come in with a set team. I think there's something to be said for not wanting that to happen. I think you'll kind of have them. I mean, I would like to think he would kind of have them prepared for the, you know, the letdown, not the given the, hey, it's a long season. Yeah. Like, you know, let's not trip over ourselves.
My concern with this is, you know, Liverpool had a very nasty history last season of conceding first. And then they also had a equally nasty history of not finishing very clear cut chances. And so my biggest fear right now is like, yeah, Ipswich gets off the board first and then Liverpool are creating a lot. And hopefully Jota is still healthy because that was a big miss last year because he can be a guy that, you know, outperforms his XG. And if he can play and gets a full, you know, 60, 70 minutes, then sure. I think, you know, Liverpool could probably get two or three and that should be enough to hit that over. But if you got Nunez starting up top and you're playing Diaz on the wing and Salah on the other wing, and you know, you're not getting as much creativity that, you know, you'd normally get from the midfield, it can go south for Liverpool pretty quick.
Scotty wants Ipswich plus 1.5 so badly. I could see it.
I'm staying away from the Liverpool game because
I feel like I don't know if you're giving analysis or you're more likely backtracking karma. Like you're trying to
always.
Like, I don't think
always. We're that's not his move. That's his move.
Just try to score some points here with the soccer gods here.
I'm telling you, I've seen the first week matchup of Liverpool and newly promoted club like 6 times in the last 8 years, and it's never a simple affair. It's always I think the easiest opening match Liverpool have had in like the last decade was against Arsenal. I think they had that game where they played Arsenal and like Sadio Mane was like his first game in Liverpool red and like just went off on them. I think Liverpool won 4-0. That's the only time I've ever had a opening match of the season where I just was able to enjoy and relax. So it's more like PTSD and internal scarring than anything.
Hey, I want to toss it up to this game here because our buddy Oaks in the comments is saying he likes Fulham here on the spread. Fulham plus 1 is minus 109. Do you guys see Fulham with a chance against this Man United team?
You know, it's interesting. They're finishing. They looked good, like I said, in the first half in the Community Shield. Their finishing was bad. Rashford had a couple bad misses. But I will say, like, their defense performed better than we were expecting. I think we kind of gave out, like, a City in an over or something, Nick, for that match because
we were City minus 1 when the odds were playable.
Yeah, we were expecting City to kind of run over that defense, but it held form, even though they're dealing with some injuries. And, yeah, I don't know. I think... Yeah, I'm hesitantly optimistic about this United team kind of coming back into form under this is now what their third season under Ten Hag. But, you know, I also can see the value in getting a goal there at even money because with the finishing that it is, you know, the likelihood of this United squad getting 3 goals on any given night, it seems pretty low.
One not bad. I do like an anytime in this one. I think Joshua Zirkzee is good. I think he gave him like 150. I think that he's going to come out and, you know, Premier League debut. And I think he comes, he scores in the first half in this one. I would just do anytime for the entire game, not saying first half.
Yeah, I love it. Bold moves. I love this. Matt, you're on a roll here, dude. What else you got? That's two fucking like
bets that you threw at us here. Like, I'll usually be a little more practical as the season goes on. In week one, I like to try to like just dive in of what, unhinged, you know, the dream. I'm dreaming these games up. What do I see happening? West Ham versus Aston Villa. James Ward, I like him to score outside of the penalty area, plus 600.
Nice. I have a pick in this one, too. I like Aston Villa team total over 1.5. It's plus 105. West Ham have the worst returning defense in the league this year. The three teams that's allowed more goals than West Ham all got relegated. So I like Aston Villa to kind of continue their goal scoring form, get off to the hot start this season. Over 1.5, I think, is very doable. And I think the total in this game is also pretty high. So it seems like there's expecting to be goals. It's just maybe for whatever reason on the West Ham side, but we'll see.
I stayed away from... Tr- traditional bets here for witchcraft reasons. Austin Villa, I mean, they broke it last year, but they traditionally don't do too well in this building. Literally football, one of the true sports where buildings really matter. So I just decided, volume builds character, like I said, I'm going to have a billion bets here, probably way more than I should for week one. So if there's a question mark, I usually just erase it. So I do like Aston Villa a lot. I think that very well coached, and like you said, they're in good form for scoring, so I think that's solid. But as far as like picking a win or anything, it's like I said, witchcraft. I don't like to mess with the trends for a reason. Some of them don't make sense. There's different, like you said, there's always different teams, different players. It shouldn't matter, and yet it does.
Yeah, so the one thing I'm going to say, and Scotty will tell you, I love underdogs first week, first month of the season. I feel like, you know, the lines are never sharp. They can't be. It's not no fault of the books, but there's always an advantage to attack. I don't love too many underdogs on these opening week slates across any league. Villa is one that I really like. I think Villa plus a quarter of a goal sitting at minus 130. I think that's potentially my favorite bet for an away team that's an underdog week one. So you guys.
I do like an underdog, a home underdog. I like Forest for plus 140 to take down Bournemouth. I think that is a pretty solid price for a week one at home for a team. Again, I don't know what you want to call them. I want to say a poor man's Chelsea, a homeless person's Chelsea. They like really like to spend money to try to get. They're excited. They'll have their team pumped. Their fans will be jazzed. And I think that plus 140 is a very good price in a game I expect to be, relatively close or very close. So I think that price is actually, very solid there. So I think that's a good value for a home underdog for week one. Yeah.
I had them at draw no bet at minus 135, just a little safety. Because I think Bournemouth are going to be a little bit of a mess to start the season. So I don't see them taking 3 points off of anybody from now until probably mid to late September.
It's a far more sensible direction.
Got to give yourself protection when they offer it to you. That's kind of.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I usually like to go that direction. I said week one is just a little weird. And I know that's not too many more I really have locked in. I just a boring one. The last one I actually have locked in officially is just Arsenal Wolverhampton. I have both teams to score at 110. Yeah. Typical week one. I think Arsenal tends to trip over their own feet when they, when they're not completely locked in, and I don't expect them to be. You have their coach literally hiring people to steal stuff from them on their planes. I don't know if you saw. That was such a weird thing to do. But yeah, I think both teams to score again, a little above even money. It's just little things like that. I think that's all I got so far. And the rest of them, like Scott was saying, I'm waiting for lineups to post.
Yep.
Yeah. My last one, Nick, that I like, Everton, Brighton. I kind of like the under 2.5 at plus 100. I think Dyche Ball is full effect here. And, Brighton kind of still, trying to recover from Chelsea, pilfering all of their talent for the past couple of seasons. So I don't see them getting a lot of goals against Everton. I see Everton very happy with just like a 1-0, 1-1 type game.
Yeah.
Taxes and Everton at home, man.
if Everton plus a quarter, plus a half gets there, man, I'm all over Everton week one. I like it. So I'm with you there. But I think most importantly, you guys gave out the best advice, right? Week one, let's be cautious. Let's see what happens. Let's wait for lineups. Most importantly, let's shop around. Use every book that you have, because these prices are going to vary widely from book to book. So, Matt, dude, cannot thank you enough for hopping on with us. Please just let everybody know where they can find you, what you're up to these days.
Sure. I'm do written work over at VSIN. And you can just chase me down on pretty much any social media. Matt Williams, MattWiams, because believe it or not, at Matt Williams was taken. I have a very unique name. Thanks for having me on. I love coming on and talking this. Maybe I can come on later in the year when we actually know what Chelsea's actual plan is. We can hash it out maybe for the second meeting between Man City and Chelsea.
There you go. Matt will have 700 bets to our 40. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that. But seriously, guys, follow him. Crushing all sports, all the analysis, all the spreadsheets to back it up. Real deal. Cannot thank you enough for joining us. to everybody in the comments. Appreciate you guys so much. Best of luck week one. Let us know what bets you're riding with, and we will catch you guys next week.